Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Turn your Bibles, book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Wow, it's quiet in here this morning.
No, story.
What'd you say, Kevin?
It was a riveting story.
Yeah, it was, and the reader, man, that even the way he said Israel was interesting. It's very good. You know, one of the things out of the public reading I like is in from verse 13. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what's good in His sight. Guys, that's our life as Christians, as God's people. We be strong. We show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people, which is God's people, and for our city, which is His city. And let the chips fall where they may. Whatever the Lord's will be done, right? And He will do what's good. And it's an amazing thing. You read through the scripture. And what we do in life and its effectiveness really boils down to one thing. Is the Lord with you? If the Lord's with you, you're going to prosper. If the Lord isn't with you, it doesn't matter how hard you work, how much you try, you won't get anything done. So, I was thankful that God has seen fit to call us into His service and that He is with us as His people. Appreciative for the stewardship this morning. Actually, Larry, I was really thankful that you had stewardship. I saw Lorenzo's name in the bulletin. I knew he was gone. I started asking a few people and thankfully his mom thought he had traded with somebody. And I'll just say this in passing, guys. I do appreciate the brethren. All of you as brethren. And just the way that people chip in and we take care of our responsibilities and we're willing to trade, we're willing to step in for each other, cover for each other. That's the way the body is supposed to work. And it works great around here. And I thank you guys for that. But Larry, I really like what you said. Just, you know, the why. We can talk about tithing all day long, but what does God want? The heart behind it is what really matters. That's the why is important. Anything we do, if the why isn't right, whatever you do doesn't matter. And so the why is most important. And then Nolan, your Lord's Supper meditation was great. Just, you know, to follow it through from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's a word we could put on it. It's called a memorial. Right? Do this in remembrance of me. And that memorial, one of the things we remember is that we can believe God. He said stuff ahead of time and He's done it in a way that we can know and believe. Aren't you thankful for the way God has things put in place to continue to build our faith, brethren? God knows what He's doing. All right, Romans chapter 12. We're going to pick it up in verse 9 and read to the end of the chapter. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what's right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your word. We're thankful for the truth that we find therein about you, about Christ, about us, about your church, your people. Father, it is truly a privilege to be able to view your church from the eyes of faith, to see your church the way that you see the church. And Lord, you are always right. And so I'm thankful for the first day of the week that just helps us to get our mindset right, to see things the way that you see them. We're appreciative for your scriptures, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we have hope for the practical nature of them, Lord, that not only do they reveal Jesus to us, but that they reveal the inner workings of the church and what we need to do as Christians to really live our lives in a manner that's worthy of your calling and choosing us. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would do it in a manner that is edifying and encouraging, and that each of us can really grab on to what it means to be a new creature and to live accordingly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've been in Romans 12 in this section for a long time. I think it started with part one and we're on part four. And I said all these little bullets from Romans 12 that if I you could preach actually a full message over each of these bullets, and then we'd be here for even much longer than 4 weeks. But I like the shift in the book of Romans, all the background God put in there for us, and I'm thankful for that. The way I am, I have to understand why things work the way that they work. I mean, to really get it. And so in my own life, guys, to some of the struggles that I've had as a Christian, to understand why these things work the way they do and what's God's solution that He provides. And so through Romans, I just see God building that, what living by faith actually looks like. And super thankful for that. But then here towards the end, he really works on the inner workings. Remember, the church in Rome consisted of both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. There were some barriers there that they had to get through to actually live in harmony with one another as Christians. I don't think we have Jewish and Gentile here, but we got all sorts of different people, various backgrounds, different things that we like, different things that bug us, etc., etc. There's practical, to me, this is practical Christianity. This is Christianity 101. What does it look like to be a Christian? And so we've worked through a number of these. In verse 16 is where we left off, and I actually hit the first few bullets of 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Guys, God wants us to have the mind of Christ, doesn't He? In the body of Christ, He wants us to all agree that there be no divisions among us. Okay? That takes work. Okay? It can be a process, okay, that is necessary to get there. But one of the things, the Lord Jesus teaches, I think I mentioned last week, it's amazing to me the similarity between the Sermon on the Mount and this passage in Romans 12. And one of the things that Jesus teaches is, if you're on your way to present an offering, and along your way you remember that your brother has something against you, He says, leave your offering there before your altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. That's the way God wants us to get done, for things to be reconciled, for things to get worked through. The body of Christ, we take the Lord's Supper together every first day of the week. It's called communion. It is a sharing with Christ, isn't it? It's also a sharing with each other. And so the principle is the same. This is an opportunity. If you're struggling with your attitude towards brother or sister in Christ, get it right. If you got to resolve something with them, resolve it with them. This, God wants us to be of the same mind toward one another. I also understand, there's commitments, there's decisions that are made to do that, and there's also a process. You got your own families within your own family to be on the same page. It's not like a one-time decision, this is the way. There's an ongoing process and commitment to that, working through various things as they come up. And as you keep growing to be more like Christ, the more you're going to be like one another. Amen? So, we don't want to, we want to be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. There is no partiality with God. It's just amazing to me the way that humans, we find differences and we highlight the differences. The whole issue of racism that's so prevalent right now in this country. Why? Because somebody has a different skin color? Just honestly, genetically, you can be much more closely related to somebody of a different skin color than you are to somebody that has the same skin color. But it's something that's noticeable, and people find reasons to not get along. People find reasons to, we're gonna make distinctions. We're going to have our little cliques here. And the script says, don't do that. The body of Christ, brother, we don't see each other that way. I think all of us should know 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Aren't you thankful for that, personally, as a Christian? But what about the verse before? From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. This is true in the body of Christ. We don't come in here and start making calculations about what a person does for work and how much money they have and how much they're going to be able to give to the offering plates that we forget to pass around here. You know, to whatever. That's not the way it's supposed to work in the body of Christ. And it doesn't. God wants us to see each other the way He sees us. It's amazing to me, the book of Proverbs, the different ways that God communicates, the difference. People make a huge difference between the rich and the poor. And God says, you know what? As far as God's concerned, the rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord God is the maker of them all. God doesn't view things that way. He sees the heart, doesn't He? And so we want to judge not with outward appearance, but according to the heart. And so, not being haughty in mind, you know, pride, one of the big three that the Scripture talks about. And you know, when you carry yourself with pride, I think we read the verse last week, according to the book of Proverbs, the lamp of the wicked, his haughty eyes and a proud heart. That's what drives wickedness. And so as Christians, hey, God's Word is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. So we put aside pride. You ever notice how many times when the Scripture talks about us receiving the Scripture, it correlates that with humility? In humility, for example, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. You have to put aside pride in order to have the Word of God be that lamp to our feet. So there's that contrast there. And that's where we left off. I want to just continue to build on that today from these last few bullets. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I think one of the great challenges, I'll just say, of my life is to recognize that my perspective in a situation might not be the absolute 100% truth. Because when I see something, I'm pretty convinced that I see this the right way. But the Scripture warns, don't be wise in your own estimation. What's the book of Proverbs say about that? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is what? Its end is death. Thinking you're being sure you're right. Your perspective, this is absolute truth, this is the way that is, it gets you to the wrong end. It gets you to death. We talk about repentance as, you know, repentance for people before they become Christians. But isn't repentance something that's ongoing for us as Christians? My dad says that repentance is, it's a continual commitment. It's a commitment to continually realign our thinking with the thinking of God. And so we continue to what? Trade in our perspective and buy into God's perspective. His way is right. So to get rid of that tendency to think the way I'm seeing this is absolutely right. You can think about it from this perspective. Personal conflict with somebody else. Those are the times I mean, it doesn't really matter what sort of Krispy Kreme donuts I like and what kinds you like best. You know, it doesn't really matter even if I like the Bobcats and you haven't figured out yet that that's the team you should like. And it doesn't, that stuff doesn't really matter, right? But hey, when you're in the middle of conflict sometimes, that's when you walk away saying, I don't, like, this person's crazy. They are so wrong. They are so messed up. Like, why can't they see stuff the way that it is? Do you ever think maybe the proper evaluation should be, you should walk away from that saying, The first person you should be concerned about the thinking is your own. Am I seeing this for the way that it actually is? Larry Miller sent me a video a little while back at TED Talks. Maybe some of you have seen some of those TED Talks. But this one, he's just talking about two different perspectives, the way you approach a situation. And it talks about like there's a scout perspective or a warrior perspective. And in battle, you need both, right? You need scouts and you need warriors. And many times that, you know, the warrior part comes out in situations of conflict. We have a tendency to, we want to defend ourselves. We want to defend our position. We want to show you why this is. And it was saying, you know, maybe the right way to approach those things is the scout perspective. Hey, let's get all the information first. Book of Proverbs is a lot of wisdom along these lines, guys. You know, even in reference to hearing somebody else's perspective. The first person to plead his case seems right. You hear their perspective. Yeah, that seems right. Oh, and basically, this is my loose paraphrase, but until they're cross-examined, right? Till you hear the other person's point of view. So, to have that scout mentality of let's get all the information. Don't worry about defending your position. Don't we, as Christians, aren't we those who seek truth? We want the truth. So, don't we even say when we made a commitment, when we came to Christ, we made a commitment, I want to know the truth. Even if I'm wrong, I am willing to face up to that and see the truth, and so the truth will set me free. We don't become Christians and then drop that mentality. Don't be wise in your own estimation. I like the way Rotherham says this. Be not getting presumptuous in your own opinions. We're going to deal with this in length in Romans chapter 14. But something that can cause big problems in the body of Christ is when I have an opinion and I want to hold you to my opinion. Now there are, and we're going to deal with this when we get to Romans 14. There's a saying that I've heard in Christianity that's really good, man sayings, but I think it's consistent with the scriptures. In essentials, unity. In opinions, liberty. And in all things, charity. In all things, love, in other words. Okay? So, in essentials, we need to be united. In opinions, we need to let people have liberty. There's a problem when it comes, when my opinion, I'm going to try to hold you to that. And when we get to Romans 14, we're even going to see some opinions are right and some are wrong. Like, there is somebody whose opinion is right. There's somebody who's, but there's still opinions. And we don't get to hold those. Hold everybody else to those. Being presumptuous in your own opinions. You don't get to bind on everybody else. You know, Jesus warned about this, guys, in many ways. Matthew chapter 7, everybody knows verse 1 these days, right? Do not judge, lest you be judged yourselves. And then he goes on there. The way you judge, you will be judged by your standard of measure. Shall we measure to you in return? You know, why are you so interested in your neighbor? Right? Hey, let me take that speck out of your eye when you got a log in your own eye. She says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And Jesus goes on to say, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. How do we want interaction from our fellow Christian? Do we want our fellow Christian to hold their opinions, hold us to their opinions? I don't particularly like that. So, should we be that way? Do we like it when, you know, siblings, you know, there's a younger sibling who wants to come and tell an older one what they're doing wrong? Usually the older ones don't receive that super well because it's easy for them to say, well, look what you do all the time. Right? Like, take the log out of your own eye. Now, I'm not preaching on the way that we should receive those things, but we just want to be, we want to be careful. Don't be presumptuous in our own opinions. Then I like this next one. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Don't misunderstand the scripture here, because if we read on in context, we leave room for the wrath of God. God is going to deal with evil. We're not talking about turning a blind eye to evil. We're not saying evil's okay. Weep at a personal level. We don't pay back evil for evil to anyone. You remember Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Who said that? God said that in the Old Testament, didn't he? Because as a standard of justice, that's still true. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You build a standard of justice that has to be in any civil authority structure. There has to be a standard of justice. And so Jesus is not personally throwing that standard of justice out in terms of running in, you know, basically, well, there should be no death penalty because Jesus said, no, there's a standard of justice that has to be kept for a society to continue to move. Hey, what Jesus is talking about at a personal level. Remember the Old Testament? Somebody murdered somebody in your family? The blood avenger? Okay? You could go and figure out how to make sure that person got their justice, couldn't you? Jesus is saying, hey, at a personal level, it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We don't pay back evil for evil to anyone. Let's actually go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5:38. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist him who is evil. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. There's a context in which, you know, that we have to look at other scripture. You know, in if you're going to say, well, what about this situation? What about, well, the scripture deals with some particulars in other scriptures. But there's a principle here, right? Somebody slaps you on the right cheek, what's the world say? Pop them back. Like, if you let somebody hit you and you turn the other cheek, you're going to become the doormat. That's what the world says. There's something, brethren, that's really in this whole context of Romans 12 and of Matthew chapter 5, and it boils down to one thing. Trust God. Does God have your back as a Christian? Do you think that God is going to allow you to be mistreated to the point of harm of your own salvation? And I'm talking spiritual salvation. God's going to take care of you. Now, is that easy to do in the moment? Is it even easy to teach your kids that? There's some bully at school, pop them back. Personally, I'm thankful that there are... Anyways... Okay. I don't want my kids to be the kid that pops them back. Okay. I am thankful sometimes that somebody pops them back so they learn a lesson there. But at a personal level, you're not the guy to do that, right? That's what the scripture teaches here. Never. That word never. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. This is what sets Christians apart from everybody else. When people look and they see that, the first century is amazing. The Christians, the way that they handled persecution, the way that when they were being mistreated and they were able to, Father, forgive them, they did not pay back evil for you, and people were shocked by that. You think about all the false religion out there, and you can boil it down to one thing, these people. They can say all this stuff, but when it comes down to it, they don't forgive others. They don't know how to. They don't have the Spirit of Christ within them. I think we all know the golden rule, right? One of the things that I used to do when I was the bad guy in school, I said this earlier in my class, Mr. Tool, but you weren't there, so I'm really thankful that I don't have to be the bad guy anymore. But one of the things, kids go out to break time to play. I'd have them check, remember the golden rule? What's the golden rule? What's the golden rule? Treat one another the way you want to be treated. Right? It's that, it's simple. But, hey, I know people. I know Christians who say, do unto others before they can do unto you. You know it's coming anyway, so get the first shot in. Like, that's not what Jesus says. I know Christians, I'll put a bullet in their head. Like, what spirit are you of? I remember some apostles called, Jesus called them sons of thunder. Hey, you want to call, hey, should we call down fire from heaven? Like, because Jesus is, he was headed towards Jerusalem, right? And he was passing through the city of the Samaritans. And they wouldn't allow him to stay there. Because he was going to Jerusalem. Nope, nope. We aren't going to let you stay in our hotels. And these guys were like, I mean, they were mad, but they were excited, man. Like, hey, can we pull our version of, I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. Especially the way some of you guys pronounce them. But anyways, can I call down fire from heaven and torch these guys up? Jesus says, you guys don't know what kind of spirit you have. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. We are those, brethren in the new covenant, who save others. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Is it true that mercy triumphs over judgment? Do we believe that? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Aren't you thankful for that? By your standard of measure, it is going to be measured unto you. How about this next one? Respect what's right in the sight of all men. There's a simple word that we use in our society is called considerate. And I've had many conversations with my family about the word considerate. Because oftentimes, as young people growing up, they didn't do anything wrong. There was nothing wrong that they did. What they didn't do was, they weren't considerate. And I said, what's that word mean? Listen to it. Consider. You consider other people. You're thinking about how this is going to impact somebody else. Right? And that's, I'll just say this, I need work on that. Sometimes I take you guys for granted. That's not right. I appreciate you. I need to tell you I appreciate you. It's just considerate. Think about other people. And so when we respect what's right in the sight of all men, we think about other people. There's a saying the world has, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. There's a cultural thing there. You're thinking about other people. That, by the way, the scripture says it. Paul says it. I became as a Jew, right? Those who are without the law came as without the law. I'm thinking about other people in order to save them. Let's actually go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think there's a progression sometimes in Christianity too, where some of us are new Christians and we're still figuring out, like, I don't want to say it this way in these terms, but what am I allowed to do and what am I not allowed to do? But there are some things that we used to do that are contrary to the Spirit of Christ. There are things we used to do that we start figuring out, our conscience becomes alive and we say, you know, this isn't right. And that's good. Those are basics of growing in Christ. We start thinking about things just at a personal level. But there's another level up from that. And that is to think about not just, is this okay for me? But to think about how this impacts other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. That sounds like considerate, doesn't it? What is best for my brother or sister in Christ? What is best? And even, I'm not talking about the world's perspective of situational ethics. But in Christianity, the way we deal with a situation can be different depending on the situation. All things are lawful, not all things are profitable. What are we thinking about? What's going to be best for somebody else? You know, the one that comes up sometimes, you know, drinking alcohol. Hey, it's holiday season, man. Let's figure out what we're going to mix our cranberry ginger ale with. You know, does the scripture say it's wrong to drink alcohol? No. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but in this congregation, we could ask for a show of hands. How many of us struggled with alcohol before we became Christians, and maybe some of us since we've become Christians? Why would I'm not asking for a show of hands, but thank you, bro. Tyler Wildman was quick to say, yeah, that's... And I know from getting to Bible study with him, hey, that, you know, it was something destructive in your life. And there are many of us. So, as Christians, don't we want to take into consideration what we do? Not just whether or not I can handle this, but is it going to help my brother or sister? That's just an example. Another example the scripture uses, collection of money for the saints in Judea. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's not what I'm looking for. I think I want 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That's not what I'm looking for either. What am I looking for? I got to think for a second here. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 18 through 21. We've sent along with him, that's along with Titus, the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what's honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Do you notice that the churches are actually collecting money, right? And they're taking it back, and they are, hey, are they worried about, like, do you have to worry about Paul and Titus, and I'm guessing this is Timothy, but I'm not sure. I actually want to do a little, just recently I was thinking about that. Do we have to worry about these brethren that they're not going to be pilfering from the money box? I'm not worried about any of those guys. They've proven themselves. But you see what they're doing? We are doing this. We are taking measures to make sure that nobody else could even ask about that. Here's a clear accounting of what's happening. We're making sure that people are together in this. Why? So nobody can even ask a question about it. It just makes sense, right? So these are the things, respecting what's right in the sight of all men. I like the way he says this. We have regard for what's honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I'll throw out another question that I get asked a lot these days because the world in which we live. What about marriage? Like, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you have to have a ceremony and you have to sign some sort of paperwork in order to be married. And we know now so many people live together without being married, right? Well, let's just think about this for a second. One thing the scripture does say, there was always ceremonies. They changed a little culturally. But whatever was recognized in that way, you know, in accordance with what the scripture says. So actually, even Hebrews 13, when it talks about it, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all. So you're not trying to find ways if you don't want to sign the government paperwork, okay, I'm not going to tell you what you have to do in terms of the state paperwork. But like, go through the ceremony so that people know, hey, there is a marriage here. We're not just living together with no commitment. Does that make sense? Okay. We want to do what's honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. All right, I like this next one. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I like the clarification there, if possible, because you know sometimes, because peace requires two parties. So if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. How do we do this? I've thought about this in my own life a lot. The biggest factor, guys, for me, is you got to be right inside your own head. Like really right. There, you know, so when I look at this scripturally, there's a progression. Peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, your own conscience going to bother you, and you are never going to be able to have the right attitude when you approach somebody else. So it's peace with God that allows you to be at peace with yourself, and then you can be at peace with others. Maybe you've heard the saying before, hurt people hurt people. If you're hurting, you're going to hurt other people. It's the way that works. There's a, you know, when people are in pain, they have a tendency to lash out at others. I don't like to use this example because, but it fits. I delivered office products when I was in high school, and one day I was driving along, spring in Bozeman, snow, banks there on the side, and I'm cruising along like 45 miles per hour down this dirt road, and all of a sudden, like out from behind one of these snow banks, this dog comes running, and I swerved back like towards him, and I caught this dog with the end, clipped him with the end, edge of my car, and I stopped, of course, and came back. Well, when I came back, there was people actually, they were out running their dog, and so they had stopped their car. They were behind me somewhere, and by the time I got back there, this dog was dying. And the owner of the dog had come and was trying to console their dog, and that dog latched on, bit the owner, and wouldn't let go. Because that dog was in so much pain that I'm sure the person that they loved so much, but they were in that pain, they couldn't help but hurt them. And I see that with people all the time. So, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Like, you gotta be right first. Get right with God. Peace with God. And so, you know, having been justified by faith, we have peace towards God. Right, Mr. Carson? Okay, Rotherham's. Peace toward God. Like, and then that empowers us to be able to have peace with others. And so just, again, as a side note, one of the things you see, unresolved conflict is not the Christian way to live your life. God's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus, Mike said it today in his opening, he's talking about names of Jesus. One of his names is Prince of Peace. You look at what Jesus has done you read in the book of Ephesians, Jew and Gentile made us into one new man, establishing peace, reconciling people groups that had been at enmity for thousands of years. He brought them together. So, you know, peace with, I guess, one final point on this. Peace with others is something that's worth chasing until you catch it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I like that. Because I just know me, and I don't know all of you, but I know me, and I know some of the things that God's got to work me through. And so sometimes, well, I tried. Right? I tried. Did my part, I tried. You know, if possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace. Well, I tried. It's depending on the other person, I'm off the hook. But that's not the only scripture that God says stuff about that. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. I like that. Pursue peace. That's not, I tried. Like we're playing tag, right? The kids playing tag. They don't just try one time. I tried and go. No, they're pursuing until they tag them. Pursue peace with all men. Like the Lord wants us to be people who are interested in peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So, bunch of bullet points. I thought maybe I would finish this chapter today. There's a leave room for the wrath of God and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with God, with good. And we'll probably preach that here in a couple weeks. Next week I'll probably do a little something about the birth of Christ because the world recognizes it this time of year. So, all right, let's stand. Let me just ask you something. The Lord wants us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers, right? I found plenty in that list I can work on this week. Okay? Hope you did too. Let's do it. Let's be doers of the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We thank you so much that the Prince of Peace came, took down the barriers between us and you, barriers that we had created. Lord, it was never your fault that we were at enmity with you. We were the ones who made that separation. We're the ones who walked away from you. And yet you're the one who provided the means for us to be reconciled to you. And we're so thankful for that. We're appreciative, Lord, that your Spirit lives in us. That this isn't, you don't ask us to do this by our own power, but you give us the power through your Spirit to be able to do these things. We're appreciative for the church, your family, a practical means by which we get to work through things. Really, honestly, it's within our own life. And the church is here, among other reasons, to use imperfect people to perfect us. And we're thankful for that aim. We're thankful for that plan, Lord. I just ask that we would commit to really live like Christ this week, to be doers, to be builders within the body, to walk by your Spirit as we live by your Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.